We have no outline or agenda for any of our coaching calls. This is purely Q&A. So don't be shy. You feel free to just unmute yourself and jump in. And with that being said, I will go ahead and I'm going to start my timer. I'll go ahead and turn it over to you guys. What is going on? Questions, concerns? Everybody's going to be shy tonight.
I have a question.
Shoot, go for it.
Best way to stop the bites for a 12-week-old puppy.
Okay, so, and let's see, Bonnie, was that you asking that question? I looked away.
Yes.
Okay, so the best way for the puppy mouthing, have you found the module on taglines in your written modules yet?
I have not. Can you tell me where I access the written module?
Okay. Why don't we just take a little bit of time to do
that? I'm a first timer. Sorry.
Okay. I did put on the Facebook page, I did put a link for finding those modules. But let's
I don't
see.
Do Facebook.
Okay. So, and I know I don't think that the emails have been particularly helpful in that regard, as far as finding your modules. So I know this is going to be old news for some people, but I'm thinking maybe I will just do a, that's what I get for letting my husband use my computer. He closed all my windows. So let's see here if I can get to... I'm going to do a screen share and we're going to do that right now. And I'm horrible at doing this, so I apologize to everybody in advance. Okay, is my screen share on? Yes. Some feedback from anybody? Yes. It is on.
Yes, okay. It is. It is.
All right. Okay. So... pull this window down. So what you're going to do is you're just going to go to the Good Dog website. So gooddog.com, because if you are a new student, you're going to be accessing the modules on the Good Dog website. So on this page, the top menu bar is Learning Center. You're going to click on that. And then within, it is pulling up pretty quickly. Okay, so on the learning page, you've got all these options for where you're looking, and we want puppy owners. Okay, within puppy owners, you're going to scroll down. Our Good Dog Puppy Training Program is live. Click on that. And within this, you are going to, I know it's very kind of disjointed, there is a faster link of just Good Dog puppy program that's going to get you to this step. But in case you don't have that direct link, you can, this is the little roadmap. So now we're in the puppy training program. And so it's going to show you guidelines for your first week, for courses, and for kind of all the training guides as we have them so far. We are always adding and writing content. And this, by the way, is where you would find to register for a coaching call and also to find the past recordings. If you click on webinar at the bottom of the screen, it's going to have all the past recordings. So within, I didn't mean to press on training guides. I want courses. Okay, so we've got all the modules for house training, all the modules for crate training, socializing, and do not skip the socializing. Gail did a fabulous job in writing the socialization modules when she did this, because quite honestly, socialization has kind of gotten bastardized in like the last 5 to 10 years. All right, so then we go back down, scrolling, continuing to scroll down, teaching your puppies manners. So we've got teach your puppy manners with taglines. And this, I really kind of want them to rename to be mouthing, because that's what taglines are particularly good for. So long answer to your question, Bonnie, go and read the modules in this section here for manners. And also there are some videos in there, and trying to think what else, but that's going to be your best bet of taglines are very, very helpful with behaviors that are like mouthing, jumping up, putting paws on the counter, things like that. Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And then just a couple kind of quick and dirties to remind everybody with the puppy mouthing is that don't do the puppy yip. That's kind of an old school method where you're trying to sound like a litter mate. A lot of times that is going to increase a puppy's arousal level. And so then they're just going to bite harder and more persistently and get them more excited, which is not what we want. So don't do the puppy yipping. Keep in mind that puppies do have a witching hour, and it's basically the equivalent of like when toddlers are overly tired. They just physiologically cannot behave. And so then it's just time for, okay, that's fine. Pick them up, put them in their crate, put them in their X-Pen, give them the opportunity for a nap. They might fuss, but I bet you money within 10 minutes, they'll be asleep. For a lot of puppies, this is usually late afternoon or right after dinner time when they're kind of in that witching hour. Okay. Those are probably the two biggest things. And then also when you're playing with puppy, toys, make sure you're not playing with your puppy with little cutesy puppy sized toys. It's very hard for them to have good eye mouth coordination. And if you're playing with a tiny toy and you're holding one end of the toy, it doesn't leave them a whole lot of room to get the toy and out your hands accidentally. Okay. So start there, Bonnie. And if you've got questions after that, you can always email me in between time. And I did open the chat box now. I'm going to, put in the email address, so that if anybody has questions between coaching calls, that's where you can email me at. Okay. All right. What else is going on, guys?
Question for you, Sarah. Would that same module deal with guarding of either toys or, let's say, a water bottle that they were given where they'll turn around and snarl or grab at the owner?
Okay. So that is not going to be in that module. And I'm trying to remember if that one has been transferred over. We had a blurb on the Avidog website about it, and I'm not sure if that one got switched over and transferred and shared on the Good Dog site yet as well. Are you on the Facebook page at all?
Yeah, I have been. I just was looking for a quick route because I haven't been up lately.
Okay. So it wasn't too long ago that we had a good discussion about this and kind of a reminder. So resource guarding is going to be different, and I'm writing down your name, Rebecca, so that I'll look up that post in Facebook and put your name in so that you've got a direct link. And it should pop up to the top of the feed for everybody else as well, if you're having any issues with resource guarding.
Very good. So, thank you.
With resource guarding, just to recap kind of the basics of that, is that there are going to be times in a puppy's life where they've got something dangerous in their mouth. We just need to go and take it. Okay. And so that's just going to be life. We need to be able to do that. But to have that be a happy, peaceful thing for our dogs, what you want to be doing during training sessions is that you are going to be playing tug tug, 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 tug with a toy in one hand, treat in the other hand, put the treat right by their nose, tell them drop it. They've got a choice then. So they either have to, you know, if they want the treat, they have to spit out the toy. It's their choice. So this is kind of how we make resource guarding not an issue, so that we're teaching them drop it. And that drop it is not a bad thing. That they're saying, oh, they suddenly realize sometimes I got really good stuff when I let go of a toy. Okay. So that's going to be part of an active training session. Another active training session that you want to be doing is that when puppy is happily, appropriately playing with one of their toys, entertaining themselves, yay, we want to be having them have good associations with just us being close to them. Okay, so since your puppy's kind of doing some snarling when you're trying to take things from them, when they are happily entertaining themselves, you are just going to go and throw treats on the floor. So you're, you know, checking your email, flipping through a magazine. As they are entertaining themselves with this high value bone that they're chewing on or toy that they're shaking to death, you're just going to drop treats on the floor. There's going to be no effort to go towards them and take that. There's going to be no effort to go and touch them and mess with them. We just want them to have good associations with us being in proximity when they have something high value. Gail had a great analogy with this. And she said, you know, if we work on this trade too much, when I was talking about the drop it command, if we focus only on that, that would be the equivalent of, I've poured myself a glass of my favorite wine and I'm going to sit and relax in the evening. And my husband comes over and he puts an Oreo cookie by my face. And as I start to take the cookie, he takes my glass of wine. Okay, I might still take the cookie and I'm going to be confused. After the second or third time he does this, I'm just going to take my glass of wine and leave the room, right? I'm going to be irritated. You know, this is not teaching me anything positive with this association. It's going to actually teach me, I want to go and take my glass of wine by myself so I'm not going to get bothered and, you know, be frustrated with this stupid trade game. All right. And I will find those two videos or the Facebook posts and tag you.
Along those lines, can I ask, is just dropping the treats when they're doing what they're supposed to the best way to get them to play independently? I find when I come home from work, if I want to sit and do anything, my dog will start, like she'll play with a toy for maybe 10 seconds and then she's back looking at me trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. And that is a separate question, because especially when you've just gotten home from work, they're excited. And that's kind of justified that they're saying, you know, thank goodness you survived a work day and you didn't forget about me. So now can we play? Can you give me some attention? And even if it's a 10-minute training session or play session, where you are actively engaged with them and letting everything else go away for the time being, usually that will be enough to suffice. So the point of dropping the treats on the floor when they are happily entertaining themselves wasn't to encourage them to entertain themselves. It was just to have them have good associations of good puppy. You're already doing that. And it's with something that's high value. So I just want you to know it's okay for you to do that in my proximity. I'm not going to take that bone away from you. Does that make more sense?
But at what point do you take the bone away?
Well, initially, I mean, because there are going to be, again, in times in life where, you know, they've got a cord in their mouth. They've got, you know, a pair of pantyhose in their mouth. Those are major safety issues for them. So you're not going to sit and have this barter session with treats with them for that. You know, come on, you're just going to go and open their little mouths. You just put your fingers back by the hinge of their jaws and take that thing out. Just no nonsense, no drama. Don't get all excited and come at them with your hands out. Just calmly walk over and be like, whoa, take the cord out. Okay. So those would be the real life scenarios where you need to get something away from them. Initially, you want to be doing you're engaged in something else. They're entertaining themselves. You're throwing treats on the floor. That's part one, and part two of actually training a drop it command. Okay. So, and with a drop it command, when we're working on that, it's usually with a tug toy. So it's something that's not going to be as high value as a bone or et cetera. Does that make more sense, Rebecca?
Oh yeah, it does. It was a puppy owner of one of mine, and it's a 15 week old golden, and she plays with this little water bottle, and when the owner went to take it away, she actually lunged at her face and growled. So I just spent an hour and a half with them yesterday, kind of, she's afraid now, which is obviously traveling right down to the dog, and she knows because her husband takes stuff away, but she can't now, she's afraid to do it. So half the session was trying to build up her confidence that drop the treats, let the dog engage, but, you know, put the toy in her mouth and then take it away with the drop it command. So we're working on it and it might work, but I think it's partly the owner's issue now that she's afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you said 12 week old puppy, especially with a 12 week old puppy, you are not going to see serious aggression or resource guarding. So chances are, and I'm sure you already went through this with them, but chances are the puppy was frustrated. It was incredibly aroused by what it was playing with. And somebody went and did a snatch and grab really quickly at the puppy. And so how they interpreted that was, we're playing keep away. We're playing really rough. And so it was just frustrated puppy and not true intention of lashing out. Right.
It could have been. She's 15 weeks old, but she even did it with me and I didn't go to take the toy away. I just put my hand down with nothing grabbing. It was just a slow, you know, can I have the toy sort of thing? And it was growl and she even lunged at me. So maybe frustration, but I think she's also just being a little stubborn. And it depends too on other situations with how she was brought up and competition in the litter and all of that. And, I think we can manage it. I was just curious if there was any other suggestions that other people might have been doing if they'd run into the same problem.
Yeah, well, and if she's doing that to multiple people and for multiple objects, not just bones or really high value objects, then yeah, they want to do some more intensive work, and that's not going to be kind of for most typical puppies. But I would say that they want to do things like, normally I don't recommend this, but I would say that they might want to try hand feeding. So instead of putting that scoop of kibble in the bowl, that they are actually hand feeding, so that puppy's really getting the idea of good associations with high value objects with her people, or with any people, and really kind of reaffirming that, hey, the humans have these magical things. We're the only ones that can open the dog food bag and can open the door.
Yeah, no, I get that, not to take any more time with it, because those things aren't an issue. It's just, we went through this with a peanut butter bone and now we're going through it with a water bottle. So I think it's just specific objects that seem to set her off. Because you can put her food down, take it away, no issues whatsoever.
Good. Okay.
Specific things. So I appreciate the feedback.
They should just take those objects away and put them away.
Oh, it's a different thing every week.
Okay. And just, you know, then that goes away. Because even in a puppy's attention span, if it's been gone for a day or 2 days, it's completely forgotten about. And then it might have a different kind of sense of value at that point. So they might just need to be kind of rotating toys.
Very good. Appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
Keep me posted on that. That's a challenging one. Okay.
Will do.
All right. I'm going to quick go to the chat box because it looks like we have some questions there. So Paula has a question in the chat box. And Paula, do you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and just kind of add some further detail?
Hi. No, it's actually John's on the Zoom call.
I saw that.
Mute,
yeah.
You got to mute yours. All right. Are you
no,
muted?
I'm going right there.
Are you muted?
No.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. We're working two different computers. So when they're both unmuted, we were getting that feedback. No, as you know, we have our three Ridgebacks and they have, you know, an acre of property to run on that's fenced and wired. And it the two girls, which are 3 and 3.5 years old, and they're puppies and they act like puppies and they love Michael or Mikey. And which I call him from the Geico commercial, Mike. And he looks at me and says, it's Wednesday, John. So anyway, the two girls, I think it's protective barking. It's not, they don't bark when they want to eat. They don't bark when they want to go out. They don't bark when but if somebody's, our road is situated as such that our property is fenced in half so that the dogs can't get to the second fence, which is also keeps them from the road. But humans, you know, which are stupid humans, I don't mean to criticize, I'm not criticizing anybody here, but they think that there's a barking dog, I'm going to walk over to their fence, which is like 6 feet away, and put my hand over the fence and try and pet the dog. Right. Yeah, so we cut it in half so that humans couldn't do that. But the dogs, if they're in the house and they see somebody walking, the two girls go crazy. And Mikey just kind of sits there and looks at them. And our older male, who recently passed, Masuli, he wasn't a barker either, and nor was Tansy. But so they go crazy and they're loud and in the backyard, they do the same thing against the fence. It's pretty funny to watch the two girls because Nia, the blonde, who is the bigger of the two, will jump up on the fence and Kiki will kick her off the fence. Uh-huh. And keep her from jumping up on the fence, but they bark. And so it's the protective barking that they're doing, and yep. it may not be a way to train them out of it at 3 and 3.5 years old, but okay. I just thought I would ask the question.
Okay. So, don't want to break it to you, John and Paula, but over a period of time, because he's got this role modeling from the other dogs, Mikey will eventually learn to be a territorial barker. Exactly. With maturity, if you don't deal with this. So, and good distinction here that you are absolutely correct on from what you're describing is that what you're describing is alert barking and territorial barking. That is completely different from demand barking. So the demand barking is, you know, when we're scooping the dog food and they start to bark at us, you know, do it faster. That is demand barking. When they're bored and they want somebody else to entertain them, us, another dog, that's demand barking. So for territorial barking or alert barking of somebody is coming by your property, somebody's coming by even your vehicle, when the dogs are in our cars, that is their territory. They can be territorial there as well. And so initially, what you want to be working on is, you know, think about this arousal level for territorial barking on a sliding scale. And at one end of the spectrum, we've got dog that can look out the window and completely be calm and not care. Or even dog can be right at the fence line and let off one woof when somebody walks by and that's it. Okay, that's where we want to get to. Low energy level, calm. Okay. Then we've got the other end of the spectrum where we're inside the house, even looking out the window. Okay, so levels of difficulty here. When you've got somebody walking by, if we let the dogs be out in the yard or by the fence, closer to the stimuli, you have made it so much more challenging for you to get the dog's attention or for them to calm themselves down. So when you see, if you can look out and you can see somebody coming, or even scheduled times, like if you know when the mailman is coming, or you get a text message that UPS or Amazon is coming, get ready with your treats and that you can have an active training session inside the house. Don't let them out to where it's going to be way too challenging. So from inside the house, again, there's a video on the Facebook page about this. I think I just tagged it, so it should be at the top of the feed again. If you do a search for propane, this video will pop up because it was us getting propane delivery. And so I quick set up my tripod and got a video of Desi, who was my very loudmouth barker, and how to redirect it. So from inside the house, where I had a fighting chance to get her attention, she goes to the window and she starts to bark. Number one, we do not start yelling, quiet, enough. Because all we're doing is barking right along with the dog choir. And we're actually increasing their arousal level. So take a deep breath, grab a handful of treats, make sure your energy level is just calm, matter of fact. You're going to go to the dog, put a treat right by their nose, and you're going to do a back away. So a back away is putting the treat by their nose, and you're going to turn them towards you while you are backing away from the stimulus, from the UPS guy, from the propane guy. So you've broken the gaze of the dog from the stimulus. That gives you a huge fighting chance. So you do this back away, luring them with the treat. And if you can get them to do a sit, excellent, good puppy. They can have that treat, okay? So long as they're quiet. Then you let them make a choice. If they choose to stay with you, or even better yet, to look back over their shoulder out the window and see that person, but then they look back at you or they stay quiet, you have a treat party. Because they have made a conscious choice. And we want to make sure that that is more rewarding. If they look back over their shoulder and go back to the window and start to bark again, you just repeat and do another back away. So just with repetition, they are going to learn that it's more worth their while to just let off one bark. And then you come over and say, enough, do a back away. Hey, I get treats for doing this and being quiet. Okay. I had another thought in with that.
No, I know it is.
But you start with them inside the house. If they right. are off leash, you've got no way to curb that behavior. And with alert barking or territorial barking, it is very self-reinforcing. Because from the dog's perspective, look at what happens. The mailman comes, the dogs right. go to the window, they bark, 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 bark. And what happens? The mailman leaves. The dogs look at it and go, yay, we won. We made them go away. So it's very self-reinforcing if we don't do anything about it. Okay?
So right. Well, and yeah, if they're outside,
small doses. Yep. So you start with small doses where it's a less challenging situation from inside the house. Then as time goes on and they get more reliable with that you can call them off of barking, then you can start having it in the yard on leash and then in the yard off leash. Okay.
Yep.
It takes a little while, but you can get there. When we lived in Oklahoma, we had 5 dogs next door that were very ill-behaved and would frequently get into full-fledged fights with each other. Not just rowdy play, full-fledged fights. Nancy's got that too. And we had to work on this a lot. But even when those dogs were having a full-on fight next door, and our dogs would be right up at the fence, very aroused and barking because they could hear that, I could call our dogs off of that. I could be standing on the back porch and saying, enough, dogs, come. And they actually would. And oh my gosh, then it was get out the beef jerky, get out salami, get out Braunschweiger, because that was huge and hard for them.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Yep.
Grilled calamari, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Just work on it little doses at a time, bite-sized pieces for them to be successful. And you can definitely improve it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And for everybody that is on Facebook, that annoying, silly video that I have of taglines do work with my obnoxious leopard print pajama bottoms, and I'm doing tagline with a puppy from our last litter, that Mikey is John and Paula's puppy. They have Mikey. So there you go, small world. Okay, what else is going on? That's your little dog, your little 75-pound dog.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, 6 months old.
He was a quick learner.
He is.
He did. He did catch on quickly with the tagline.
He's the prodigal child.
Oh yeah, he's the man. I'm telling you. See, he just came in. You saw him in the kitchen. That's who was here with me. He just came in, said hello, stood at the door. Yeah. Paula let him out, back in, said hello again. Boy. He's back on his couch.
Oh, good boy.
Yeah, and he loves six foot leather couch.
Good, good. Yeah. All right.
Sarah?
Yes, go ahead.
So we have our standard poodle puppy who just turned 8 months old. We went through our first obedience class, ended 6 weeks or so ago, are starting a good manner greeting class on Thursday. And he has, all of a sudden in the last week or so, he has just gone completely berserk in terms of, he's had a solid sit for a very long time. He's been, he's wild and stuff, but he responds. He has just taken to, I can't tie it to anything that has happened or changed in our house or to him or anything else. He jumps on us constantly. I do all the things else. Do I turn around? He follows me and jumps again. He's pretty good walker on a leash. I took him yesterday. He was just unmanageable. He's pulling in every direction, jumping around, just acting like, crazy. And he's doing that kind of thing most of the time now. And even I'll just say sit, and he just looks at me. Eventually he will do it. But it's just so exasperating because he pulls on our clothes, he jumps on us, things that, he's done occasionally before, but constantly now. And then I just get so frustrated, I yell at him, which I know is not helpful, I shouldn't do, but it's just like, I just want him to leave me alone. And I try not, I just don't really want to be around him when he's acting this way. So what is going on? And what do we do about it?
It does sound like, hello, teenager. Hello, puppy adolescence. And I know you were having some of that before, but now it sounds like now it's full-fledged.
Yeah.
And when you're really having, a teenage puppy that's really, really pushing your buttons, the term that I always use is kind of that we need to do puppy boot camp. So it's a reminder that nothing in life is free.
Right.
And it's a reminder that everything is earned. And a lot of times that doesn't mean, because I know you do this, Tom. It doesn't just mean like I have your bowl, you need to sit for me to put your bowl down, or you need to sit for me to open the door to go outside to go potty. It means everything. To the point of I will admit I've done this with foster dogs and it's annoying. But it works really well when you've really got a dog that is really just testing you on every rule and every limit and every boundary, that you tether them to you. So you put their leash on and you attach that to your waist. So they are completely dependent and they have no freedom. And I know that sounds harsh. And yes, like I said, it's a pain, especially because you have to remember, did they go to the water bowl? When's the last time I took them to actually go get a drink? But it does remind them that no, everything that you need or want in life comes from us.
So do you need that like all the time or
no?
No, 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 because you'd get ulcers and pull all your hair out. So even if you're just doing that for a couple hours during the day when you're kind of in a good headspace and kind of have some free time where you're just doing something kind of mundane, like folding the laundry, putting laundry away, you know, something that doesn't need a lot of your focus. And in between times, if he's really being a jerk to you and just, you know, the constant jumping and the constant grabbing of clothes and the constant barking, don't negotiate with him and don't feel guilty. I would go ahead and don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just calmly take him two fingers under the collar. You're going to the crate.
So that's okay, because I do put him in his crate, but they said you shouldn't use the crate as a punishment. So I, you know.
But you're not. Yeah. I get what you're saying, and you are right that we don't want to be using that crate as, because the crate is their bedroom, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want it to be negative. So in contrast, if you're using the crate as punishment, it would be that you're abusing it for the length of time they're in it every single day, or you're kind of bowling the puppy into their crate in anger. Yes, that's punishment. But if you're calmly just giving them a time out, sure. I mean, think of children, you know, you need a little time out. A lot of times kids are sent to their bedrooms for a little calm down period. Same thing with the crate. And then as soon as he is calmed down, a key factor is going to be that as soon as he's calmed down, you go over and you open the crate door. Don't call him out. If he wants to come out, he can. But you open the crate door, and that's his opportunity then to, you let him make a choice. And at that point, he's calmed down. He's being a considerate puppy. He's entertaining himself. Acknowledge it. Praise him, give him some petting, he can stay out. If he starts to spiral right back up, he goes back in the crate for another timeout. Very clear cause and effect. And when he's having these little sessions in his crate for a timeout, you know, they might only be 2 minutes. The more you do this, the faster it's going to be for him to learn, I'll just calm down. The faster I calm down, then I can come out. Okay. So if you find yourself kind of negotiating or trying to bribe good behavior from him, it's going to backfire. That's not going to work because that's putting him in charge.
Sure.
So just give yourself permission. Do not feel guilty about saying, okay, you're going to spend some time by yourself in your bedroom.
Anything specific about, other than that, about the jumping, which is the most annoying thing? Like, for instance, today I had been grocery shopping. My partner had let him out in the backyard. I didn't know that. I'm walking from the garage to the house. He's back there, immediately starts jumping on me. I have my arms full of stuff. I can't really do much about it except turn around and say off, which didn't work very well because he just kept it up and I couldn't really do much about it at that moment.
Yeah. So, you know, in that circumstance, I would think, you know, if I were you, I'd be like, try and plan ahead of, okay, I was gone. I'm coming home. So I know he's going to be kind of wild and amped up. So before I bring any groceries in, I'm going to come in and either remind him of how to greet appropriately with his paws off. Good boy. Hi, nice to see you too. And then put him outside or put him in the crate so that you can safely get the groceries in, right? Because when you had your arms full of stuff, you can't really do any redirecting.
Sure.
And that's also sending a message to him.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. Try and think and plan ahead a little bit more of how you can make your greeting successful so that he can have his paws on the ground. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Yep. All right. Gonna quick write a note. So I'm remembering some of the topics from that whole great time out. Tethering. Okay. And Nancy, you had a piggyback on the barking question. Do you want to unmute and elaborate?
He just has gotten very sassy.
and demanding. You know, it's different than protective. It's yeah. demanding. You know, I want to go out in the backyard to play ball. I want to go out in the backyard to pee, which obviously I'm going to respond to. I want Libby to play with me, and he'll nose poker, you know, constantly. And but it escalates. I'd push the ball underneath the couch and underneath the table and everywhere else. And it just seems to be increasing in levels.
Okay. Interesting that you're mentioning this with Bogey, because lo and behold, all of a sudden, Frankie is starting this as well. And they are very similar in ages. Yes. But so Frankie has started doing not barking. In my opinion, it's more annoying. She does this really piercing whistle whine. I'd almost just rather that she'd bark. But she does this demanding whistle whine of, I'm bored. I'm bored. And she just walks around whining. And it's, I'm not giving her attention, or the other dogs are not wanting to play with her. So, and just reminder, as you well know, Nancy, so for demand barking, one option can be stop the world kind of approaches. And for Frankie, it's really hard to implement stop the world methods when it's wanting to play with the other dogs, because I can't take away the other dogs, and they're already giving her a clear indication, I don't want to play. Right. So for Miss Frankie, when she starts that, I give her one redirection of just, hey, Frank, and she'll look at me. And so I've distracted her and interrupted her for 1 second. So then she will stop the whining. And then I will say, okay, good girl, quiet. That's enough. Our word for quiet is enough.
Right.
So I give her a chance. But then if she starts the whistle whining again, then it's just, okay, you're going in your crate.
Great time. And
I will, you know, like get toys or get a Kong or something and put it in the crate with her so that she can still entertain herself. It doesn't necessarily have to be a nap time. But I have started to do that just because she's not getting the message with just one redirection verbally or with the indications the other dogs are giving her. And when she, when she started to do it in other kind of situations where I can't go and just grab her and put her in the crate.
Bogey, stop.
Then I will use. Just a squirt bottle with water in it.
And I forget about that.
Paula's laughing. Even if and who else is holding up their water bottle? Emily. Yep. So, even if you've got a water dog, like the retriever, and Nancy has Golden. So even if you have a dog that loves water, Ridgebacks do not like water.
Right.
So this works maybe a little bit more effectively for me. But even if you have a dog that loves water, the whole point of the squirt bottle is just that it's just surprising them momentarily so that you're interrupting the whining or the barking or whatever, because they all of a sudden will look around and go, Where'd that come from? I'm with all of a sudden. We're not squirting in the face. You're just squirting somewhere in their general direction. So that you squirt, they shut their pie holes. You need to follow the other step in this sequence. And as soon as they're quiet, or they've stopped whatever behavior you didn't like, that then you acknowledge and say, good girl.
Okay.
Thank you. That's my quiet girl. And then you let it go. If they start the whining up again, psh, squirt. Okay. Squirt bottles can be really effective and really nice for, I haven't said this for a long time, but like if I'm driving in the car, especially with young dogs or in crates, you can use a squirt bottle over your shoulder while you're driving. So I actually have squirt bottles in my cup holder in my van.
It's funny.
Okay. The other nice thing about squirt bottles, it's kind of equivalent to taglines, is that we are saying very little. Mm-hmm. And so we are not giving them a command and we're not increasing their energy level because we're not really saying anything, just squirt from across the room. Okay.
Sounds good. It's encouraging that you're going through the same. I mean, it's not encouraging, but it is.
It is. Yeah. So yeah. Hey. Crate timeouts or squirt bottle, because with the whining, that is one thing where you can't walk over and do a tagline correction.
I can't lift him. He's right. Like a ridgeback.
Right. But I mean, for just doing a tagline correction for demand barking or whining, you can't do a tagline correction because you have to walk over towards them to do the little correction. And you walking towards them is giving them attention.
Yes.
So that's the one thing that definitely taglines don't work for.
Yes. So, he's pushed his ball underneath the desk during this whole conversation and is probably destroying all the cables underneath.
Yes, I am. Oh, all right. So, yep. Some crate timeouts or get out the squirt bottle. All right. Quick grading a note. And then, Karina, you've got a question in the chat box. You want to unmute and.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
So I'm first time dog owner. I've just had this puppy for less than 2 weeks. She's 3 months old. And she came with some house training and some crate training, but obviously at her age, you know, not very advanced. But she seems to just not have any instinct at all to keep her crate clean. She pees in it all day long. It doesn't seem to me like she has any bladder awareness even, because she won't alert at all. Like, she'll just wake up from a nap, which she just did 5 minutes ago, woke up, took two steps over and peed on the bed. My bed, not hers. So, you know, like, I'm troubled because I feel like all of the crate training and house training, you know, instruction is premised on this idea that if you confine her to the crate and it's a small enough area that she'll want to keep it clean and she'll learn to control herself. But that's not happening. And I tried following the advice to make the crate smaller, you know, mm-hmm. and that resulted in her going sort of escalating from only peeing in the crate to also now sometimes pooping in the crate, including into her own kibble bowl. So I'm at a loss here and I'm wondering, is there any way to sort of restart that instinct?
There, okay, so background question first. Dogs always make us ask the most disgusting questions.
Oh, go for it.
Was there food in her bowl when she pooped in it?
I didn't check.
Okay.
Probably just because she doesn't have a huge appetite. So she always seems to be eating less than the recommended amount. The vet said she's totally fine in weight, but I would suspect that there was some food in there. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a feeling that that was probably not intentional. Of just, she was trying to get to a corner of the crate.
It was a corner. Yeah.
Yeah. So that it was kind of the most out of the way as possible. And her bowl happened to be there. Okay. One of my dogs does this, even, you know, we've got acres fenced in, but he's five and he still likes to be in the very corner to poop, to the point that he can actually get his butt up against the fence so close that turds will hang out on the little side rails. I'm like, that's impressive, Pacino. So I don't think that was intentional on her part. I think she was trying to get to the corner as much as she could.
Well, what troubles me about that is that originally she was good about alerting when she needed to poop. She doesn't give any alerts for peeing, but she was doing that previously for pooping. And so I was able to, you know, be very responsive to that, but I've really been stuck with no signaling at all on peeing, and the fact that she does it so immediately upon waking up from a nap or in the middle of play, she'll just stop and suddenly pee. There's just nothing for me to realize that it's time. I have been able to train her clicker training to use artificial turf. So like I'll prompt her, and if she needs to go, she'll go, but it's not like 100% of the time. I'm just taking my best guess at, you know, I saw you drink some water about a half hour ago. Let's see if this works.
Okay. All right. And the artificial turf, is that outside or is that in your house?
That's inside.
Okay. This is part of the problem. She is not getting the clear message that, our goal and the better preference is to go outside. She is getting confused of, she's thinking that there are kind of like, I don't know, options in the house, but I don't know really where they are. And to just kind of backpedal a little bit here, when we've got really young dogs, it's our responsibility to always be offering the opportunity and to be kind of anticipating the timing of their potty needs. Puppies don't have bowel and bladder control reliably until they're about 6 months old. So a lot of times with 3 month olds, they're starting to get some control over their bowel, but that bladder sphincter, usually it's, they don't know they have to pee until it's, oh boy, I'm going, you know, it's that immediate. And so part of that is physiological maturity, development of that sphincter control. And then part of it is us teaching them to kind of be more aware of it.
Have you also checked to see if she's got vaginitis that perhaps has moved into a UTI?
And that was my next thing. Yeah.
That would be the other.
We were at the vet literally yesterday, so there's a fecal test that's pending, but otherwise there were no signs of anything. The vet didn't notice anything. We didn't ask, I didn't think to ask about vaginitis, but I mean, there was no indication.
Yeah. So, because a lot of times, unless you've done a urinalysis, you really aren't going to know whether they've got a bladder infection or not. And dogs, puppies especially, can be really kind of asymptomatic in a lot of ways. I've heard from so many people of, it can't be a bladder infection because they sleep through the night. Oh, yes, it can. So when we have something that's a change of behavior or something strange going on behaviorally, we always want to rule out medical first. So obviously with pooping, there's probably no medical issue here. But you might want to get a quick urine sample, run that to the vet for some urinalysis just to make sure, because trying to potty train with a bladder infection is so super challenging. And if there is a bladder infection, within like two doses, not 2 days, two doses of an antibiotic, you usually already start to see improvement. So might want to double check and make sure with that. And then to kind of do a reset, as far as, yes, we do need some smaller spaces, you know, as far as her crate, so that that's her clean bedroom. Making sure that that's not too big. We want to make sure that the areas that she has peed have been thoroughly, thoroughly cleaned. And to make sure that they are thoroughly cleaned, you need to get some sort of cleaner that's enzymatic. That's going to help get rid of that pee smell. And even with puppy bedding that you're throwing into the wash, I'll even pour of that, some of that simple solution right into the wash. Even though I'm using laundry detergent, I'll use a little bit of that as well, just to make sure that their bedding is completely clean. So that's going to get rid of some of that residual smell. And also that, you know, she's, when we were talking about kind of the physiology of sphincter control, it's not their responsibility, unfortunately, at this point. It's ours to always, when in doubt, take them out. So, you know, they've stopped playing all of a sudden. Excellent. Pick them up while you're walking to the back door, snap their little leash on them, pop them down on the ground, be quiet while they're sniffing. If they potty, excellent. Mark treat, praise. Then they can come back in the house and have a little bit of free time if you can supervise. If they didn't do any potting out in the yard, then okay, well, you kind of haven't earned that freedom yet and you don't have a trustworthy sphincter yet. So then it's you come back in the house and you go in your X pen so that they are confined still to kind of a smaller area, not free reign of the house. And you let them play a little bit, wait about 10, 15 minutes, maybe 10, pick her back up, take her back out, give her another opportunity. So we, unfortunately, to really help her get this message, you're really going to have to backpedal and frequent potty breaks to make sure that she doesn't have an opportunity to make a mistake in the house. Okay. I know that's not a happy thing to hear.
Well, I felt like I was already doing that. And that's why it's really confusing. Cause like, I'll take her out. Mm-hmm. She won't pee. I come back in and 15 minutes later, she's, you know, peed on something in the house. Yeah. Or, you know, I'll put her in the crate and, you know, having just already had her pee on the artificial turf, I'll come back and an hour later, it turned out that at some point she's peed, you know, in the crate. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's like she knows how to pee on grass. Problem is we're 15 minutes away from grass. Like we're in New England as well. So bundling both of us up in order to get to the grass is a whole operation in itself. So like, at the point when I know she needs to go, I've got either seconds to get her to artificial turf or I've got like 20 minutes to get her to grass. So it's a bit of a challenge there, which is why I try to keep a really regular schedule. But I feel like she's confused. I think you're right that she's confused. I didn't realize that the turf might be contributing to that because she is pretty good about using it. It's just, she's also using other things. That's what threw me. But
the door that you're taking her out to go potty, it's not grass. You said that. So is it dirt? Is it gravel? Is there an area for her?
Oh, we're in an apartment. It's a door to a hallway that goes to a bunch more hallways, to an elevator, to more hallways, to a lobby, to go a couple blocks to the apartment. Yeah, there's a whole maze involved.
Okay. Gotcha. So, what I would suggest then, and have you come across this in the potty training modules of the potty pan that would then go in her X pen?
No, her crate, I didn't see that.
An X pen.
Oh, no. Where's that?
Okay. That's going to be in the potty training modules. That is going to be your solution because you've got such a long trip. She's 3 months old. She can't hold it that long. So yes, you need another option. And a potty pan in the X pen is going to be your option to help you get through this hump, but it's going to give her kind of more clear and consistent rules that both you and she can follow of, okay, I know we're not going to make it all the way outside. So this is your scapegoat, but the scapegoat is in an X pen so that she's not just kind of all over the apartment. That's too much freedom. She will sneak off and pee or poop somewhere. Okay. And Karina, I will email you the direct link for that part of the module that has the potty pan in it. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking at the puppy training, house training basics section, but I can't figure out which one has the puppy pan. So that'll be great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm quick writing a note to myself. Email potty pan. Okay. And you also made, though, going back to the medical, make sure she.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. How do you get a urine sample from a dog?
So you can always just take them to the vet and the vet will do the collection of the urine. But if you're kind of miserly like I am, or during the times of COVID where I didn't want to be really going into a lot of places and dragging my dogs with me either, Laura. You can get pee samples on your own. Okay, so don't laugh at me. You go to like some dollar store or thrift store and you get a soup ladle, and that is your designated dog pee soup ladle. And okay, especially for girl dogs, if you try to stick something that's very deep underneath their vulva while they're peeing, they're going to stand up and stop peeing. But with a soup ladle, you've kind of got a bit of a handle, and you can kind of just sneak behind them and sneak that soup ladle underneath them. You don't need that much, even like a tablespoon, and then put that, they don't need much to do a urine analysis.
Okay.
And then you have some old crappy Tupperware, you pop it in there. And then you take that to your vet.
Okie doke. That sounds great. All right. Well, thanks very much. And apologies to everybody for the conversational topic, but much appreciated.
No, all good. That's what coaching calls are all about, Karina. Okay. And I'm just making sure. Okay. I've got your last name so I can find your email address. Okay. What else is going on, guys? I'm just scrolling to see what else is in the chat box here. Or is everything in the chat box?
All right, Sarah, I have a quick one.
Yeah.
You know, Nia, the oldest now, 3.5, is still the toilet paper thief. And what is she teaching Mikey?
So for so that one, you are going to have to catch her in the act.
Yeah.
Because the toilet paper game is very self-reinforcing, just like barking. So unless you catch her before it is all the way out of the bathroom and down the hall, it's already been a fun game.
Right.
So I would say, you know, close the bathroom doors. And then when you have time to supervise and do a little surreptitious kind of incognito training, then you open a bathroom door and you're going to be ready and kind of around the corner. And you're going to be watching. You're going to be pretending you're doing something else, but you're going to be waiting for her to go in there and start messing with the roll so that you can come in and interrupt her with whatever method you would like to do for your redirection. So squirt bottle or etc.
She went 3 months without touching a roll. And then this week it's been 3 days in a row.
Who knows? Live
in the bathroom.
Who knows? It's getting cold.
And I even
out.
Keep it up high.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, keep it up high, close your doors until you can schedule those little times to catch her in the act. And then you have a little come to Jesus talk with the girl about toilet paper rationed. Yes.
Yeah.
Kate. So kind of a weird question, but my dog for 4 weeks has been eating and drinking normal out of a bowl. And I got her some of those Nina Ottoman puzzle things, and she's really good, quite good at them, and could do the level twos and whatever to eat food out of or get treats or whatever. And the last 24 hours, she has started putting her foot in her water bowl and splashing it everywhere as though she's trying to get something out of the bottom of the water bowl. Any thoughts?
Those self-entertaining toys can be really great, but they can also cause some kind of humorous issues.
I don't even know. I mean, I guess I could raise the water bowl.
Yes.
But so, I don't know how high to raise it for a puppy and have her still be willing to go over and get it and realize that it's there. I don't know.
It can actually be pretty tall. You initially you're going to have to take her to it and kind of, you know, play in the water and show her that it's there from a raised, in a raised platform. I actually have our water bowls raised. I think it makes less of a puddle on the floor with having water bowls raised. So I would try that. Or the second she starts playing in the water bowl, you just take the bowl away, put it down in your kitchen sink, wait a couple minutes until she's off busy doing something else, then take the bowl and put it back down so she's got access to water. So again, kind of a clear cause and effect of we're not going to do that. Okay. I've had some people where I think it was probably a golden retriever owner where the dogs were just really trying to make their water bowls into a swimming pool, that they actually went to like a dog sized, basically gerbil water bottle that the dogs would lick on.
Okay.
So there is that option too. But I would say that, yeah, a raised feeder for the water bowl, or just that you are watching and the second she starts to play, it goes away.
Okay. That's what I've been doing, and it's better, but it's not perfect. Like she's still now about 3/4 of the time drinks normally. And then the rest, she'll start going at it. And then pretty soon the foot will go in. So just checking. Okay. Thank you.
So it's going to be kind of like Paula's situation where you're going to have to be ready and kind of have some time set aside so that you can supervise this so that you can react and have a cause and effect. Kate, go ahead.
My question is very quick. I have an 8-week-old puppy and it's really amazing, but I also I haven't been able to plunge into puppy materials, and I have a somewhat desperate question for you before I do. I am going to read everything. But so this puppy is great. It's like going to the bathroom outside, everything's great. But when I have it in the X pen in the kitchen, like when I need to do something, like say, maybe I don't want to be like running around, getting it off of my stop it from like chewing my rug or whatever. I just want to keep it like in the X pen, can hang out in the kitchen with me while I cook. So the puppy will whine a great deal. And it's simply because I assume she wants to be with me. She wants attention. So that sounds like what you were talking about earlier, demand barking. And I'm just wondering, I don't really know how to respond because I think I've been probably doing it wrong and just like going and getting her and giving in, right?
Yeah. He's doing a great job of training you. Good puppy.
Oh, I just wanted to ask really quickly, just for that, like help.
Okay. So one thing that can help, and just a heads up that a lot of times the amount of noise that comes from an X pen is going to be more than what happens from a crate. Dogs just have an easier time transitioning and accepting a crate as a bedroom than an X pen. I don't know why that is. It just is. However, the X pen is of course very important because when they're itty bitties, they can get into so many dangerous situations, plus starting bad habits with their house training. So we need to have somewhere that they can be safely contained when we cannot supervise. So a couple things that can help with that, other than, quit going to her beck and call when she is fussing. You can go through your little mental checklist of, are her needs met? Why is my puppy making noise? Does she need to go potty? Is she thirsty? Is she hungry? Is she hot? Is she cold? If all those are all good and you've just come back from a potty break, then it's just, I'm trying to get your attention. I want some loving. I want you to pick me up and carry me around. So don't do that, right? Because you are giving in and teaching her a bad lesson. But a successful decrease of noise for the X pen is you actually get a crate and put it in the X pen.
The crate is an X pen. It's in there.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Excellent. Because if you've got the crate in the X pen, then you can follow the other steps of crate training. So if she's in her X pen with her toys and she's not entertaining herself and she's just standing there demanding you, then you just calmly pick her up, pop her in the crate, shut the crate door and put the cover down. You can put that crate cover down. So curtains down, right? And then if she continues to fuss and make a lot of noise, then you do that little gentle earthquake. When she settles, cover comes back up. She's still quiet, crate door opens up. Aha, now you can have more freedom in your X pen. Okay, so cause and effect. you do quiet behavior, you get more perks, puppy. Okay. And maybe get yourself some earplugs.
Okay. Thank you so much. I just needed to hear that.
Yep.
You I'll be got strong.
It. Joel, I keep trying to get to your question in the chat box. Unmute.
Hi. Thanks. Hi. Thanks for having me. Hey, so I've had dogs in the past, but due to life events, I had to get a small dog when my 14-year-old died. I never had a small dog. I had a small dog when I was a kid, and I never took care of it. It was the adults that took care of it. So, And I'm kind of used to having a big dog and kind of getting its attention with, either food or, various collars. But, this dog's kind of delicate, and it's just about 4 pounds. And, it's been home for a couple of days, and I don't know, how to introduce, grooming it or, commands. I've recently... scoured through the resources. However, I was just being evaluated for the puppy. And then I kind of like put it on the wayside, the whole resource thing. But now that the puppy's home, I have more stuff to read, but I'm just kind of a little bit inundated with the holidays and trying to train a puppy. So, I had a critical case of COVID, so I have long-term COVID. My whole goal was to, grow strong with this puppy. So that's my whole goal, and I'm a lot better now. And it's been a bad year, but, it's been a year that I've learned a lot. So, this puppy is a reward to myself and my family. And, I never had a little puppy, since I was 4 years old, so...
Well, and Joel, I have to say that, even for people like me that are, I'm a dog breeder, I forget a lot, even between litters. And so, every single time I think it's kind of a relearning. And not all puppies are the same. They have all got something new to teach us. So cut yourself some slack. And toy breeds, the biggest difference is that toy breeds are treat motivated. They're still toy motivated as far as their training and incentives for training. The biggest difference is going to be, from my experience, is that it takes a little longer usually to reliably house train toy breeds. Don't know if it's just because they mature more slowly or just they have smaller bladders. But otherwise, just go ahead and act like this is just, it's a puppy. And you can take your time going through those modules. You might want to focus on, there is one module that's just called your first or puppy's first week. Uh-huh. Maybe just reading that one and focusing on that for now as a priority. And, because in the first couple of days, the priority is just her getting to know you guys kind of getting to know her, and her just starting to learn about her environment in your house and what the rules and the expectations are. So that's a huge part of those first couple of days. So introducing the grooming tools, you can wait a couple of weeks. So, even if you're waiting and you've got some downtime in between holiday meals and stuff like that, in between Christmas and New Year's, then you can start doing that. So, I can't see. Is she mix? I can't tell what breed she is.
She's a Merle Pomeranian.
She is. Okay. She's just got the woolly puppy coat everywhere. So it's can't tell what you are.
Yeah. She I keep calling her she because my 14-year-old was a she. He's he's like a puppy. He rests and he sleeps and I had to recently return some equipment, some leashes. So I'm gonna get it tomorrow. But he's only been home for a few days. But I guess probably overthinking a little bit.
Maybe, probably. And,
however, he is kind of like owning my sons a little bit, like jumping and nipping.
Okay.
So I guess to reinforce that, I should probably do the crate and maybe the earthquakes and the other things that I've read about. Right.
And for the mouthing, that's when you want to go and find that tagline section that's listed under manners, the manners box. Okay. So read up on the taglines for the mouthing, and that also helps with the jumping up. And Joel, are you on the Facebook page?
No, but I could find it.
Okay. Yeah. It's just Good Dog Puppy Program. So do a search for that, because with grooming specific, we don't have a whole lot in written modules about that yet. We have some generic ones talking about that you should be working on handling your puppy. So when you're kind of having downtime and they're sleepy is when you have snuggle sessions and you're touching ears, touching inside ears, lifting their lips, okay, for handling. But specifically about grooming and grooming tools, we've got some more on the Facebook page about that. Like I think there's probably about 3 posts alone on introducing the Dremel for doing nails.
Oh, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I just, I want to make sure I'm, I want to get a dog that I could handle and that I would, serve, like sometimes when I had a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, and sometimes when my raising children, and I'm a single dad now, he wouldn't get adequate exercise. So like, I just want to be able to serve this, my dog, the way it should have been, cause I felt bad. Like, hey, I couldn't exercise my dog properly. And, now she's gone. So I got a lot of, I want to make sure I'm a good dad.
Yes. I mean, and hey, cut yourself some slack, Joel, cause life does happen, you had your old girl for 14 years. So it sounds like a long, beautiful life. So, and now you've got this new little guy and it's a fresh opportunity.
Yeah, so, thank you. And I'll shoot you an email if anything, but thanks everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just put off the grooming tools for a while. You've got bigger priorities to focus on for right now. And one of them you're doing right now, just that relationship building with him.
Can I do one last thing? So he's being like, I'm trying to, the breeder oriented him with the pad, and he's doing, I have to say, pretty good for the 2 days that I've seen him. But once I get my leash, I want to kind of, take him out, but he doesn't have like all of his shots just up to the 12 weeks. Uh-huh. And the breeder and my vet this morning said, hey, you can take him out in familiar areas of your property. I'm not going to take him in like, where it's like an acre deep. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to take him out in the front where he can take a wee and maybe sniff some grass or something that no other dogs go to. I mean, maybe there's a neighborhood cat there that kind of rolls through, or I seldomly have any fox, but there's wild turkeys that go through the backyard, and like, he won't go near the deer poop or anything. I just want to maybe take him out 5 feet from the door so he sees what the outside's like.
Absolutely.
Until he gets his shots.
So just like what we had with Karina. So, you can be implementing a potty pan as well as going outside to go potty. And so if potty breaks are, in your yard and a familiar area where you know what dogs have been there and that those dogs have been vaccinated, that's fine. That's safe. We do not want to be taking our dogs to places where other dogs frequent the area a lot and they have unknown vaccination histories. Right. That is risky. But there are plenty of other places we can go for socialization. You can pop puppy in the shopping cart, bring a blanket, pop puppy in the shopping cart and go to Lowe's. Yay. Everybody wants to pet your puppy. Lots of places that you can go safely, and puppies up in the cart. They're not walking where other dogs have walked and potentially peed or pooped. Safe. Gotcha. Okay. and they're still getting socialization. So you've got
Okay. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And then we can just keep signing up for these classes, right?
What's that?
We can just keep attending the class.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yes. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
Calls every week.
Thank you.
Can I just say real quickly about the cart thing? Because I was like all gung-ho about to do that last night. And I like put my dog in there and I was like, let's go. And then my dog got really spooked because of the rattling and jumped out. Okay. Oh. So hold on to your dog.
Yep.
Don't do what I did.
And also that is a great tip, Kate, because normally, you know, you're getting the cart from those little cart corrals out in the parking lot where it's bumpy and then it's really rattly. And so what I generally will do is I will push the cart into the store while I'm carrying puppy. And then once we're on the smooth, polished cement tile floor, then I've got the blanket in the bottom of the cart. I pop puppy in the cart and we won't move at first. I'm just going to let them sit in the basket of the cart and look around, and I'll have my can of squeeze cheese so I can give them little rewards, little squirt of squeeze cheese. And then I'll move the cart 4 inches, squeeze cheese, another 4 inches, squeeze cheese before we really start going. Because yes, the parking lot where it's really bumpy, that can be that.
It's just common sense. I'm so annoyed with myself.
You're fine. You're fine. So now you've got a game plan for next time you go to take puppy for a social shopping trip, right?
Don't beat yourself up, Kate. I did it the other day, but I had her in a front pouch. And then I tried to put the front pouch in there and she said, no. So I said, okay, fine. You're going to ride right here instead. But it was the same thing. She tried to escape and, you know, she was locked in the pouch, thankfully, but don't beat yourself up. We all are puppy brained.
Yeah. And I love that you bring this up, Emily, because both of what you guys are talking about, this fits perfectly into socialization. Socialization is not a checklist where we go, okay, the puppy saw somebody in uniform, check. The puppy saw other dogs, check. That is not the point. The point is our relationship with them. And so for Emily, you were like, okay, this isn't working. So how am I going to modify this to make this the just right level of challenge for my puppy at this stage? That's what socialization is.
Yeah, I was really tempted to like run back to the car, but I was like, no, we're going to go in and we're going to see this through and we're not going to make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm. Because you are your puppy's benevolent leader and you always want to end on a positive note. And so did your puppy gain trust in you and your relationship from that experience? And did they learn some bravery about the world in that situation? Absolutely. That's what socialization is. So both puppies in those scenarios were like, wait, tap the brakes. This is scary. But you adapted and made it a learning experience for them. Yay! That's perfect. That's exactly what you want to do. So that's why I say that socialization has kind of gotten bastardized, unfortunately. People have gotten into the idea of thinking it's a checklist. No. Mm-mm. So, and boy, we're going long tonight. That's fine by me. Crystal, what breed of dog do you have? I'm seeing your question from the chat box.
Hi, everybody. I don't have a puppy yet. I'm getting it in beginning of the year.
Okay.
And it will be a Quaker.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's pretty cold here in Canada. The zone is kind of within 10 feet of the door, but I'm just wondering, I'm just concerned it might be just a little too cold for the pup at first.
The first week when you're kind of adjusting because of the really cold extreme weather, you might want to plan on making the online shopping so that you've got the option of a potty pan. Right. But having a puppy coat and leaving your slippers and your coat along with puppy leash right by the back door. So you can quick get those on, and having an area shoveled that's right by the back door and that's hopefully kind of got a little of a windbreak, you should be okay. Because I will say that one good thing about puppies that are born in the winter and puppies that are house trained in the winter, they learn to be very efficient.
Very quick. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a great benefit. Puppies, litters that are born in the summer, they're horrible because they go outside and they're looking at butterflies and they forget that they have to pee. So a dog coat, absolutely, but just be ready to be efficient, and puppy will learn to go pretty quickly.
Okay. I just didn't want it to be afraid or be scared or hate going outside because it's cold.
Well,
so, and a week that's or two, why I said, and maybe we'll wait for the weather to, you know, be at least around freezing before we venture outside.
Well, and also I would just wait at least a couple days when you get puppy home, just because that climate shift is going to be a huge lesson for that puppy from Houston to Canada. And so puppies, just like we, you know, humans, we kind of get acclimated. And so just giving that puppy 3 days to just, you know, being in the car and in the plane and et cetera to get to you, that's already going to help with the climate, you know, the acclimation.
Okay.
And just quick little trips outside. Yeah. Yeah. But letting them acclimate and letting them get used to wearing a little puppy coat, a couple days to allow for that, not a bad idea.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Quick rating and out. Okay. Just quick check in chat box. I love it that you guys are chatting with each other in the background. I love it. Okay, and it does look like these are kind of mostly thank yous and just, or I've got to get going, chats.
I think you got in all the questions, at least it looks like. So I had a question for you. Along the lines, thank you so much for the help through the week. Along the lines of the crate and the X-Pen, so I brought Vespa to football practice outside with her little pen because she's still not fully vaccinated yet, but I figured there wouldn't be any dogs at the football field because it's a high school, not a park. Uh-huh. And then she proceeded to bark for 2 hours. Maybe she stopped for about 5 minutes. I had tons of toys or water, you know, of course the water ended up spilled because of jumping and things like that. I was probably hearing her more than everybody else, but she pretty much is nothing if not persistent. And just barked the whole time, had her little space to lay down in her bed and all of those things. She even was barking laying down a couple of times. So I'm just not sure, because I'm going to have to bring her again this weekend and maybe she'll do better, maybe not. But I'd like to sort of do some things ahead of time. And it's the same sort of thing when she's in her pen here and I'm around the corner in the kitchen where she can not really see me, but I'm there. She can hear me and she can smell me. So curious if there's a few tips or ideas for this, because I know she's got some issues with separation from me. And I know that that's a big issue and it might not be something we can solve in the next 10 minutes. But, you know, I don't want to make everybody stay too long. But I do know that I'm eventually going to have to go back to a ship. And I don't know at this point I'll be in charge of the ship. Yes. So I might be able to bring her because I'll be the one making the rules, but not really. I still have to follow the other rules, you know, the leadership rules. So she'll probably have to stay with my husband. So this is something we need to make sure is set up for down the road too.
Yeah. Okay. Cause and let just to clarify. So when you are at these games, you are working.
I'm playing. So it's practice.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm away from her and nobody's really by her either, but she sees lots of activity and lots of noises.
That is a tough nut for her to crack in her little puppy brain. Because number one, she's seeing all this activity going on that might look either really fun or potentially overwhelming. And she's still learning to be on her own, and she's still learning to be comfortable in an X-Pen, and she's by herself. She's completely by herself. So that's going to make that a really hard one for her to accomplish. Down the road, once she's more mature and she's got more confidence and you've been working on your crate training, then yes, absolutely. You know, I can have my dogs in their crates in the back of the van while I'm off doing whatever, you know, even grocery shopping, and they're out in the parking lot and they're zipped quiet, without me there, but that is down the road. So for right now, I think, and we want her to start to learn that those situations are super fun. And if you're not there to make sure that they're super fun, I'm a little worried about how she'd interpret that. So for the time being, I would say that, yeah, if she stays home with hubby, or even if you've got a dog loving friend that wants to come and watch you play and they hang out with your puppy, that's a win situation right there. Because then she's also learning to trust somebody else, that other people are fun too.
Sounds good. That was the idea, but the person wasn't able to come. So we kind of just got thrown into it. She literally fell asleep after in the car for 2 minutes on the way home. But yeah, she just worked herself into a tizzy because she could see us all having fun and wanting to be there. Not, you know, just wanted to be around, because as soon as I let her out, she didn't run off. She just wanted to be right by me. Okay, so we'll try and do it in a little bit more of a stepwise fashion.
Yeah, and just that it can be a little bit more structured and supervised for her, so that somebody's with her to make sure that her priority at the football game should be like, look at all this stuff going on, and isn't it fun? It's not scary, and I'm practicing not jumping on people, and I'm practicing meeting people, and I'm practicing not pulling on my leash.
Right.
That's the opportunity for a situation like that. Okay. Practice your X-Pen in your crate at home.
Fair enough.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Quick writing a note about that. Okay. Anything else, guys? Okay. Well, as always, remember, you can always shoot your questions on the Facebook page or emailing me. That's puppyprogram@gooddog.com. I was checking those almost daily. So in the meantime, if you're signed up for the coaching call on Thursday, I'll see you then. Otherwise, we will chat at some point in time, and happy training in the meantime. Okay. All right. Good night, guys.
Thank you.